Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A historic visit by the Prime Minister of India to Norway, the first in 43 years, has just concluded, marking a significant milestone in the bilateral relationship between the two nations. First, let's delve into the details of this visit. India and Norway have elevated their bilateral ties to a green strategic partnership during Prime Minister Modi's visit to Oslo from May 18 to 19. What makes this significant is that 12 agreements were signed across various sectors, including maritime decarbonization, offshore wind, aquaculture, Arctic research, digital public infrastructure, and circular economy. Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre termed this partnership a natural alliance of ocean nations. It is worth noting that India's bilateral trade with Norway stands at approximately $2.73 billion in 2024, and the India-EFTA TEPA, which came into force in October 2025, provides the economic framework for this partnership, with a potential value of $100 billion over 15 years and the creation of 1 million jobs. Now, let us turn to another significant development in the field of security and defense. Squadron Leader Sanya of the Indian Air Force has become the first woman to qualify as a Category A, or CAT A, flying instructor, which is the highest instructor grade in the IAF's flying training framework. She completed the flying instructor's course at the Air Force Academy in Dundigal, Hyderabad. What is crucial here is that CAT A instructors can train other instructors, representing the apex of the IAF instructor pyramid. This achievement adds to the Indian Air Force's milestones for women in aviation, following in the footsteps of Avni Chaturvedi, who became the first woman to fly a solo MiG-21 fighter jet in 2018. And the opening of the Permanent Commission to Women in the Flying Branch in 2023. Moving on to the realm of polity, the Central Information Commission, or CIC, has upheld its ruling that the Board of Control for Cricket in India, or BCCI, is not a public authority under Section 2(h) of the RTI Act 2005 and therefore cannot be compelled to disclose information under the RTI Act. The CIC found that the BCCI is not substantially financed by the government, as its primary revenue comes from broadcast rights, the Indian Premier League, and sponsorships. The BCCI is a society registered under the Tamil Nadu Societies Registration Act, 1975. It is worth pausing here to note that the Supreme Court's judgment in the Thalapalam case in 2013 held that substantially financed requires a major or dominant portion of funding to come from the government. With that background in place, let us look at India's stance on the Indus Waters Treaty. India has rejected the Court of Arbitration's award on maximum pondage under the Indus Waters Treaty, terming it an award from an illegally constituted tribunal. India has held the IWT in abeyance since 23 April 2025, following the Pahalgam terror attack. Although India boycotts the Court of Arbitration, it participates in the parallel neutral expert process. The dispute concerns water storage limits in India's Ratle hydroelectric project, which is under construction by the National Hydroelectric Power Corporation, or NHPC, on the Chenab River in Jammu and Kashmir. Now, let us examine a critical issue related to polity and the judiciary. Different Supreme Court benches have issued contradictory rulings on bail under the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act, or UAPA, Section 43D, 5, which bars bail if the court finds prima facie truth in the charge sheet. Some benches, citing the K. A. Najib case in 2021, have granted bail when prolonged pretrial detention violates Article 21 of the Constitution, while others, following the NIAV Watley case in 2019, have denied bail by accepting the prosecution's case at face value. This divergence raises questions about consistency and the constitutional limits of security legislation. Moving on to the environment, the India Meteorological Department, or IMD, has issued a yellow heatwave alert for Delhi NCR, with temperatures expected to reach 43 to 45 degrees Celsius, which is 3 to 5 degrees Celsius above normal. Rajasthan's Burma has touched nearly 48 degrees Celsius, indicating an extreme heatwave, while Maharashtra's Wardha and Yavatmal have received orange alerts. The Northwest India plains are forecast to be under heatwave conditions until 24 May. Separately, the IMD has confirmed that the southwest monsoon onset over Kerala will occur on 26 May, which is 5 days ahead of the normal 1 June date. The total seasonal rainfall forecast is 92% of the long period average, indicating below normal rainfall, and the El Niño probability for June to August is high, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, and the Philippine Atmospheric, Geophysical and Astronomical Services Administration, or PAGASA. Now, let us turn to international relations once again. The third India-Nordic summit has concluded in Oslo, where Prime Minister Modi engaged with leaders of Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, and Iceland on issues such as Arctic governance, clean energy, digital public goods, and maritime cooperation. Following the summit, Modi departed for Rome, which is the fifth leg of his May 15th to 20th European tour. In Italy, Modi held talks with Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni on the Joint Strategic Action Plan 2025 to 2029, bilateral trade, which has a target of approximately 20 billion euros or $20 billion by 2029, up from the current $16.77 billion, and the implementation of the India-EU Free Trade Agreement, or FTA, which was concluded on 27 January 2026. As we reflect on these developments, it becomes clear that India's strategic partnerships, judicial decisions, and environmental challenges are all interconnected, influencing the nation's growth, security, and global standing. The complexities of these issues underscore the need for nuanced understanding and informed decision-making, both domestically and internationally.